One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Match Ball.
Hello there and welcome to the show. It's brought to you with Levi Solicitors, who will give you 10% off your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. My name's Dan. Hiya. With me, Michael Normanson.
Hello.
Moscow White as well. Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
The Matchball 30 charts our journey from promotion in 1990 to lifting the league title in 1992. It's a real-time journey where we do a matchball on the 30th anniversary of every game. And Easter just out of the way, as it was in 1991. 2nd of April, so April Fools.
Was yesterday.
Did you get caught out by anything?
Well, who were the fools yesterday? Crystal Palace were the fools, weren't they? Ha. Ha ha.
Very good.
Well, they've given us a sniff, haven't they? Judging by these other results. They lost at home 3-1 to Manchester City.
Niall Quinn and his disco pants with a hat trick. Have that.
Another significant result was Southampton beating Liverpool as well. Didn't expect that one. With Liverpool still sniffing around the title, maybe that's going to let Arsenal in for their game tomorrow at home to Aston Villa, which I fancy them for a good win there.
That would spoil things for us, though, because we've been talking a lot about us chasing Palace for third place. And this is what needs to happen now that we are, thanks to that them losing to Man City, we're 9 points behind them with 3 games in hand. So we win those three, level on points for third. If Liverpool win the title, they go into the European Cup. And then if Arsenal finish second, they would go into the UEFA Cup, but they're still in with a chance of winning the FA Cup. So they would qualify for the European Cup Winners' Cup if they did that, which is above the UEFA Cup. So then the UEFA Cup place goes to third, which will be us, not Crystal Palace. So we need Liverpool to win the league, Arsenal win the cup, and Leeds go marching on into Europe.
It was really good, though, for us to arrest that post-Christmas slide, do we want to call it, with 2 wins in 9, it was something like that, or 8 games. To win at Chelsea, I thought, was a really solid result last week. So hoping to build on that one again today at Elland Road. Another big crowd, over 28,000 here for the visit of Sunderland.
And how many more in Sunderland?
A bigger crowd at the Beanback as well. I'm sure this will be the highlight of the week up there in Sunderland. Get a day off from the car factory. Go and watch the lads.
A 14-inch telly in the middle of the centre circle at Roker Park.
Cheering them on for a great result at Elland Road.
Sounds like a lovely day out by the seaside in early April. Lineups then. John Lukic in goal, Mel Sterland, Mike Whitlow, John McClelland and Chris White. So no Chris Fairclough then in defence today.
His ankle that he played on with at Chelsea got the better of him.
In midfield, your big four, Batty, Strachan, McAllister and Speed with Carl Schutt and Lee Chapman up front. And Imre Vardy making it back to the bench with Andy Williams. For Sunderland, Tony Norman, Gordon Armstrong, Anthony Smith, Gary Bennett, John Kay, Richard Ord, Paul Hardiman, Kieran Brady, Paul Bracewell, Gary Owers and David Rush, with the subs Brian Atkinson, who sounds like he should be a retired man, not on the bench for Sunderland in the prime of his career, and another Brian Mooney, with Dennis Smith, the manager for them.
It's very rare that I only recognise one player from the opposition, but Paul Bracewell is pretty much the size of it.
You would remember John Kay, though, from...
Only from this season,
smashing Peter Haddock's legs,
the tractor,
earlier in the season. Remember, this shower came up behind us from the second division, but only by default.
Well, this was very convoluted and very, very messy because Swindon were doing naughty things with their finances, but they beat Sunderland in the playoff final to get promoted to the Premier League, but were promptly relegated two divisions due to their financial impropriety. 36 charges that they admitted of breaching league rules. So they ended up dropping down to the third tier, which upon appeal was restored back to the second tier. So they kind of did a big round the houses and ended up right where they started.
Dave Hockaday's Swindon Town at this point.
Exactly. It was one of Vinnie Jones' two bookings in his career at Leeds was we were getting promoted. Was a very good tackle on David Hockaday at Elland Road. But yeah, Swindon's chairman off to jail and Sunderland off to the First Division, where they're doing great. Although they did beat Scum.
19th, they've played 31 games, won 7, drawn 8 and lost 16, scored 33 and conceded 47. I mean, conceding 47 goals in the top flight is ridiculous.
And it's only April.
They've only won once away from home coming into this against, I mean, Sheffield United, who we know are pathetic.
They came up with us as well, didn't they?
Yeah, but they're not as good as us because we're basically going to win the league or thereabouts. I mean,
we're off to Europe. We'll settle for that.
Close enough. They did beat Man United 2-1, mind you, at the start of the season. So we just call it the early season promotion bounce, do we?
And then they beat Crystal Palace on Saturday as well. So we are...
Yeah, but we know Palace are a set of chumps, don't we?
But we're nicely minded towards them, which makes a change. There's a lot of pre-match talk about that John Kay tackle on Peter Haddock and whether it's going to be a big on-pitch stramish. Dennis Smith says he's told his players not to get involved and Wilco saying it's just another match. And the more we concentrate on football and ignore the so-called side issues, the better it will be for us. I would not want myself, my players, or anyone connected with the club to become involved in side issues. So it's quite clear on side issues. There are to be no side issues about this match.
Just the issues that are right in front of us.
Front issues, not side issues. Don't know where he stands on back issues.
Mm.
Old issues of the square ball, perhaps, that he might be collecting. I don't think so. I don't think he was a fan. But side issues are definitely out.
We're bang up for this, and we set about them from the get-go. In a tremendous fashion. We've spoken so many times this season about, you know, the hallmark of Wilco's side being coming out of the blocks and getting the games won inside the first 20, 30 minutes, and no difference here. We absolutely trounced them.
It's a great goal, this first one as well. It's Whitlow throwing it to Speed, and then there's a nice little 1-2 before Whitlow turns into... Well, it doesn't turn into... It turns into Mike Whitlow, is what he does.
Well, they're playing such a tight area here. It's no surprise to see quick footwork, great movement, intelligence.
And like a racing car going into turbo.
There's two 1-2s with Speed. He throws the ball to Speed, takes it back, gives it to Speed, gets it back, and then he's off. So many players trying to stop him and he just swerves around them all into space.
It's the sort of thing that got Gareth Bailey's move to Real Madrid, this kind of play.
Well, you see a play on the left side like this, attacking the cop end and across to Chapman. What, he comes from behind the defender as well, ghosts in and just somewhere around the penalty spot into the goal.
This is easy for Chapman, though, this kind of stuff.
It's textbook stuff.
It's what he does every single week.
Lest anybody think we are joking about Whitlow's.
It is great. Play.
It is actually a great piece of football. He does really well. And the beating the players is good, but then the cross, I know having Chapman there helps, but it is right on his head, right where he wants it. And he's basically on the penalty spot and can choose which corner to put it in, puts it in the far, just inside the bottom of the far post. It's a great goal. 5 minutes in as well.
I have often wondered watching football whether football teams do this, where they'll say, right, just put it in an area. And you get the sense that when Leeds are attacking, when Chapman's there with the headers, they know just to wang it roughly towards the penalty spot, and you've got a very good chance with Lee Chapman in your side.
I think when we cross from the byline, it's aim for the edge of the 6-yard box. When we cross from a bit further out, aim for the penalty spot, and you know Chapman's going to be there or thereabouts. One thing I do look back on this watching Chapman, and we now know about heading a ball and its potential impact on brain injuries and stuff, I do kind of wince at the amount of heading the ball Chapman does and the amount of elbows he gets and stuff, and it dishes out, in fairness, as well. Like, his game is so aerial, it's ridiculous.
And if you told him, I mean, we don't
want to... Well, you say that. Let's wait till see what happens in the second half, because you never know.
We don't want to get too distracted by concussion and head injuries, but let's not forget he did get kicked unconscious earlier in the season and then drag his face across a running track. Bit of Vaseline on that. Go and play... Play again 6 days later. Absolutely
fine. Staple him together. He's fine.
Yeah, I wouldn't ever go up for another header again or put my dip my head in towards any sort of challenge ever again. In fact, I'd probably just have retired on the back of that. Terrified. 22 minutes on the clock, 2-0. Carl shut the scorer this time. And another nice flowing move. Yeah, you've got Chapman who's involved again. He nods it down. So he's kind of on the low field side, isn't he? About halfway inside the Sunderland half over towards the touchline. But he's the omnipresent target and flicks it inside. Who finds Strachan, who's just in acres of space in the middle of the park.
Strachan's pulling the strings in this one again. I mean, he's meant to be tired, isn't he? Because he's played so many games and he's even been playing for Scotland, but he's just brilliant in this game throughout. But yeah, moves it across to speed, and then it's the cross is a bit long this time, but Chapman once again is there to win the header, which he manages to, it's too high for him really, but he manages to keep it in play, and it loops it over towards the back post where Schutt nods it into more or less an empty net for a few yards.
I mean, this is a really, really cute finish, because you do wonder with a man so close to him, because the defender's right on him and the keeper's reaching backwards to try and cover it, where he's going to put it. And there is just that little bit of space right by the left-hand post. And he just heads it down into that little space.
I wonder if it might have come off his face.
Yeah, he knows.
He's just faced it into the net instead.
They all count.
It's a strange one, because Gary Bennett is with him, but doesn't just seem to do anything to stop him. Schutt just has to sort of decide, how am I going to head it around this defender? And it's a good little finish.
Maybe it's the perfectly accurate assist from Lee Chapman that does it, that looping header. And he did really well, because he did the thing of, because he looped it, it took all the pace off the ball and just presented Schutt with that chance when it looped over to the far side. So it must have been accurate enough for Schutt to have just stroked it in with his nose.
Well, yeah, he's kind of put it in there again. I don't know if it's into an area, but he's played it in a way that the players can kind of watch and then compete for it. And it's weird with Gary Bennett being such a hard defender that he's just sort of watched it land on Carl Schutt's head. But that's because Schutt's a great striker and Gary Bennett is a shit defender.
What I enjoyed about this as well is the real atmosphere that's in the air, and you can hear it as these goals go in. It's only 2-0, but 2-0 up this early is that momentum growing. There's a real cheer. There's a real sort of beef behind the celebrations.
Well, we've won at this point. 22 minutes gone, 2-0 against Sunderland. They've won one game away. They're not coming back, are they?
The beanbag tickets are looking poor value at this point, aren't they? People are probably just thinking, do you know what? Should we go to the beach?
Well, yeah, I did mention for the away game earlier this season, there's a decent chippy not too far from Roker Park. And there's the park itself, which is just the other side of the chippy. Nice seafront in that area. I can see better options for the Mackhams on this particular day. And it's getting worse for them before half time. 3-0 from Gary Speed. I mean, you cannot overstate how good this header is by Gary Speed. And it comes from a Mel Stirling free kick. Again, you're sort of halfway inside the Sunderland half, over by the Lowfields touchline. We're attacking the cop end. And Stirling lofts it in, doesn't he? So, so accurately. But then the brilliance comes from Speed's head.
Not many headers are this aesthetically pleasing. There's just something you can watch about this over and over again. He doesn't get a heavy touch on it because the ball's got some pace on it, and it's just the way he directs it with his head. It's a glancing header, but it just beautifully goes across the keeper and in off the post. It's one of the best headers I think I've ever seen.
To control it in off the far post is just exceptional ability, and it's so simple as well. Just a great Stirling free kick onto the penalty spot. Speed, he's running across it as well. That's the thing. He runs to meet it. He knows where it's going to go. He knows where Stirling is going to put it, and then just puts exactly the amount of power on it to just guide it. And it doesn't bounce in. There's no kind of like mishewing. There's no scraping where he's not quite got it right. It's just perfectly inside the post.
And that's the point you make there, Mosco, is that he's coming across it. It would be easier to guide it to the right-hand post here and send it a little bit back towards where it's come from, you know, to put the momentum on it that way. But he doesn't. It's the fact that he directs it over to the far post. So he guides it almost, but with such accuracy and power. Yeah, it does hit the post and go straight in.
The knowledge of his angle of his forehead is tremendous. To understand what he needed to do with the ball in that split second is incredible.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why UnitedHealthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
And there's not a great deal different to say about the second half, other than we continued to be relentless, albeit it did take us nearly 15 minutes to get the fourth goal. Again, some neat footwork involved in this. Some really nice goals today. I mean, that nice work from Strachan, doing a 1-2 around the edge of the area with McAllister that sends Strachan to the byline at the south stand end. And he gets right to the corner of the six-yard box where it meets the byline. And then he just pulls it back. And Gary Speed just taps it into an empty net, 3 yards out, done.
You do get the feeling in the second half they've sort of given up, because Speed's in the middle completely unmarked. I think it's Whitlow is behind him. So if it had gone past, there'd have been another completely unmarked lead player to tap it in. But to be generous to us, we also completely carve them open.
And you imagine the halftime team talk by Sunderland is to the effect of, okay, tough game. Don't let the first goal. Yeah, don't let yourselves down, lads, first of all. Stay in this.
There's thousands of people back in Sunderland watching you.
Well, I mean, tens of them now, so say the club. But yeah, this is it. I mean, it was game over anyway, but at 4-0, the whole thing's done.
You'd think part of that halftime team talk would have included marking our players in the six-yard box, but they're just standing watching Speed.
Because there was a genuine element of surprise with, oh, he's just stood there and put it into a completely empty net.
Yeah, when you watch it back, they are just watching. Nobody's even running after him. Nobody's trying to stop him. It's just, oh, go on then.
It's the same when Strachan makes his run to the byline as well. There's someone with him at the start and they just sort of, yeah, it's fine, just let him go. Can't be arsed. We've lost this.
Fair to say then, something you mentioned in the first half, Michael, it was midfield that won this game. We were absolutely dominant across the middle of the park with those four.
And it's Batty. Does he get an assist for the fifth?
As near as
he's involved.
He's harassing the midfielder, isn't he, around the centre circle. Not too physical. He doesn't really do much than breathe down his neck, but it does force a terrible back pass from the defender, doesn't it? And it just breaks the Chapman, who... It's really interesting to place his position on the pitch here.
He's offside.
Well, it doesn't really matter, does it?
No, because they've passed to him.
Exactly. But he's in this sort of a mud trench running down from the centre circle towards the edge of the area, and Chapman is slap banging it. He's right in the middle of the pitch here. So it's heavy conditions. It's Chapman who is not the most delicate of footballers. But what he does here, I think, demonstrates a real footballing brain, which you wouldn't necessarily associate with Chapman. You might argue he didn't quite know what to do. You might also argue that he was slow enough that it gave a chance for other people to get ahead of him. But he holds the ball long enough in that central trench in the field and starts advancing towards the edge of the area. But what it does is it lets Strachan break down the right. Speed goes down the left, and it just starts to split the defenders enough that he can keep advancing with the ball. And then you think, well, what's he going to do with it now when he reaches the edge of the area?
I think the defenders make the decision for him in the end, because they've given him that much space and he's been allowed to run that far with it that he just thinks, well, I suppose I better shoot.
And it's worth emphasising there's two things. One, you say the ball broke to him. Sunderland passed it to him. He's just standing behind their defender and they just turn towards their own goal and kick it to Chapman. And advancing with the ball, he has one touch. So they pass it to him.
He advanced 20 yards with one touch.
Yeah, he just kicks the ball towards the edge of the penalty area, and then all the defenders run away in different directions. So he's just kind of following the ball without touching it again. And he does that kind of it's almost like he's being allowed to run up for a free kick. He does little, you know, that penalty technique where people kind of do scampering little steps now, that's really annoying. He's doing a little bit of that where he's kind of like, am I going to just, can I just hit this? And so because everybody's left him to it, he doesn't have another touch to set himself. He just, well, the ball's just sitting there on the edge of the box. It's about to roll to a stop. I'll just whack it.
And he does bottom left-hand corner, strikes it in there. Great finish. Again, off towards the post.
I would have been intrigued to see how far they did back off him, because I get the feeling they could have been behind the goal line, the defenders, and he would have still been like, are you doing this? Are you absolutely sure? Can I just, am I right to just put this into the net?
But that's why I think his play deserves some credit, because he, whether by accident or by design, he held it long enough, or it was in front of him long enough, that it allowed the other two players to come round, and that just left the defenders completely screwed, didn't it? What do we do? Where do we go?
We are 3-on-2, aren't we? It is worth saying. In defence of the defenders, they're trying to both mark Chapman and the people at the side, but then they just leave a massive hole for him to put the ball through.
And it is 4-0 with 5 minutes left. I wonder if Chapman would have shot from 20 yards if it had been a bit closer. If it was 0-0 in the first half, he would have
completely bollocking him and saying, get it wide, well, get in that six-yard box.
When you're the top scorer in the first division, you're entitled to shoot from there.
Yep, stick it in, get the fifth, 5 minutes left. Think there's anybody left at Roker Park at this point?
Nah.
Single person?
Some people passed out drunk, maybe, who can't quite get their legs working to leave.
Maybe they've switched over to EastEnders.
I was going
to
say that they've all gone back to work after Easter, but of course there are no jobs there, so they won't. I'm joking. And Chapman, brilliant, because most of his goals kind of come from almost a standing or heading position. He doesn't really know how to celebrate here. He's on his feet and he's got distance to cover. So he just kind of, I'll just throw my arms in the air and just walk back towards the centre circle.
I kicked one.
You see that, everybody?
Is this his first goal from outside the box? I can't remember.
It was certainly in the D, wasn't it?
They're a rarity. They are a curate's egg. Is that rare?
Let's say, yeah. Speeds into double figures for goals as well, which is a great return on his first season in the top flight.
Yeah, it's hard to remember sometimes that he only really came into the team at the end of the promotion season. And although he had been out of it a little bit lately to give Andy Williams a run, just to kind of protect Speed from the rigours. But he's around the same age as Batty, and Batty's been playing since 1987, so it kind of shows the different levels they're at. But Batty's not into double figures for goals this season, is he?
or indeed in his career. I did enjoy seeing Batty in this, and across this season, actually, just seeing his more progressive play. I'd kind of forgotten, you know, you kind of distill him down into a bit of a caricature with the passing of time. But seeing him do a lot more kind of aggressive forward-thinking stuff across this season was really, really good.
Is he one of the players who's forward, actually, when Chapman scores? Is he one of the players bursting forward on one of the wings? I can't remember.
Well, he's the one who forces the issue, doesn't he, on the midfielder who passes it straight back to Chapman. So he's not too far away from the action.
Him and McAllister were kind of working in tandem this season, kind of bombing forward together. The only problem with Batty attacking is that he would not shoot, and everybody was kind of annoyed about him because when he was shooting in training, it's generally going into the net. So you're like, right, do that in games. Like, nah, too much effort.
If you stop telling me to shoot, I might.
So the results from this weekend, as we mentioned before, yesterday, April the 1st, on Easter Monday, we had that defeat for Crystal Palace at home to Man City. So this win, really, really important in terms of closing that gap. The other result today is by some piffling team underneath us, but they've played a couple of games more than us. Manchester United, they beat Wimbledon, who are a couple of places below them in the table, but it means that the Scumbags are still a point behind us, albeit they've played two more. They've played 32, we've played 30. Gap to Palace now is 6 points, but we have those two games in hand, so it's all to play for. Europe could be back on the cards, that's exciting. Liverpool have played 31 with 63 points, and Arsenal have played 30 with 65, and they go on to play Aston Villa tomorrow. And due to the magic of this podcast, because we are going back in time, we can tell you that Arsenal beat Aston Villa 5-0 tomorrow. We've hopped in the DeLorean and had a look.
We need better than that from Villa. If Liverpool are going to overtake them and win this league so that we can go into Europe, Aston Villa need to not be getting humped 5-0. Unhelpful.
Transfer window has slammed shut by this point, but that hasn't stopped the links to players and a player that's quite familiar to us.
Yeah, this is a bit of a strange one from Blackburn's manager Don Mackay, because there were links around Scott Sellers. A tabloid said that he might have been coming to Leeds before the deadline for £700,000. His former club, of course, we let him go when Billy Bremner took over from Eddie Gray, who's one of our youth team players with John Sheridan and Dennis Irwin and all that lot, and he let him go for £20,000. And
a wand of a left foot, if you were to believe the hype.
And apparently Howard Wilkinson wanted him at Sheffield Wednesday and has been linked with him again for £700,000. But Don Mackay says this is a ridiculous idea because he's injured. If someone was daft enough to make a firm offer for Sellers at present, even the daft one of £700,000 reported by one tabloid would be made by Leeds, I couldn't in all conscience recommend my board to accept it. I wouldn't be able to sleep if I pulled a trick like that on fellow professionals.
I mean, the subtext there is, look, if somebody makes an offer of £700,000 for Scott Sellers, we'll sell him. He's put a price on his head there. And I can't imagine Scott Sellers is ever going to come back to Leeds.
It's never a good idea to go back, is it?
Nah.
Even if he came back, I wouldn't think it'd be successful.
Nah, not a movie should be making, that one.
Especially not if he's broken. So thanks, Don, for the warning, at least.
Well, on to the next game, and it's going to be in a few days' time. So Saturday, as we look at it, in 1991. Today's game on a Tuesday, 30 years ago. At seventh-placed Wimbledon, we will be travelling to Plough Lane for the weekend. So they are a way off us. They're now 7 points behind us in the table with a game played more than us, as I mentioned. So they're not a huge threat right now, but if they beat us, suddenly it starts to open it up a little bit, doesn't it? So a lot to play for when we go there, and it's sure to be absolutely pumping, you know, full, a really big crowd, etc., etc.
And some great football on display, I'm sure, as well.
Mind you, still better than the entire concept of Milton Keynes, isn't it?
Have they built that yet?
Milton Keynes, it's just a rumour at the minute, just a vicious, vicious rumour. We'll catch up with you on the Match Ball 30 when we return following the game at Plough Lane at the weekend. We'll see you in a bit.
The Match Ball.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.